All right, Jim, so let's touch on the Timberwolves, who win their third in a row. They beat Utah, another team that's not real good, but 121-13. They outscored them big in the second half. Your thoughts on the Wolves?
This has been a really good three-game stretch. Yes, they played bad teams. But early in the season, they played some bad teams and didn't really put them away and had to struggle in the fourth quarter to find a way to win. This has been a really nice professional stretch here as Edwards has gotten his legs back under him. Edwards was great last night when they needed to pull away in the third quarter. He really went crazy. I thought McDaniels played really well. DiVincenzo is looking more and more like a, not just a good player, but a good point guard. It was a good professional effort. Last Friday they play Utah. They're coming off a bad loss against the Knicks, and they just destroy Utah out of the gate. Then they play Sacramento, destroy Sacramento out of the gate. Then last night, that was a little different because they played at home on Sunday night. They have to fly, early morning hours to Utah, not get much rest, face a team that they embarrassed last time I saw them a few days ago. Utah plays with a lot of energy and a lot of passion, and like every team in the NBA, has some offensive talent. Utah takes a lead, makes it a little tough on them, and I just thought the Wolves did what a good team does in that situation, just kind of kept chipping away, put together a burst that gave them a sizable lead, and then just milked the game away. I thought it was a good professional game. I like the way they're playing right now.
They're playing about just eight guys. I mean, we saw, Dillingham played 4 minutes in last night's game. What do you think about the bench contributions? And do you feel like playing eight, nine guys is about right for them?
I mean, it's really hard to play more than eight. You can play nine if you chip away at some minutes of your top six, why would you want to do that? They're your six best players. So eight to nine is about as many as you can realistically play, unless you just decide not to play your starters a lot of minutes, which is a hard decision to make. They're the guys you're paying all the money, they're by far your best players, they're your best established players. They're going to play the most minutes in the big games. So this, it's very different because last year they had a starting eight, basically. And then, they had to figure out, okay, how much time are you going to give Dillingham? How much time are you going to give Jalen Clark? How much time are you give Shannon? And it was really injuries that opened up time for those guys, with a little bit of, some garbage time here and there. This year, they really have a starting six. And then Shannon's been hurt. Dillingham is not playing well. And so Conley's kind of your seventh. And then I think Jalen Clark has been your most effective player beyond the top seven. So he's kind of your eight. I think Shannon's kind of your nine. And Dillingham still has to prove he can be an NBA point guard. So, listen, injuries, slumps, are gonna play a factor here. You're gonna see Dillingham continue to try to earn minutes. You're gonna see Berenger once in a while, but it's really kind of we're kind of back to a top eight with other guys trying to find a way to fit in. The only real big surprise here, the two big surprises are Dillingham hasn't developed more, and that Shannon got off to a slow start and then got hurt. So it's made it easier for Finches to play a few people. But, it's just hard to argue against the top six guys getting most of the minutes right now.
Jim, are the Memphis Grizzlies trying to move Ja Morant?
That is the belief, yes. He's had off-the-court problems. He has been pretty defiant about those. He basically got his last coach fired. He didn't want to get in a team huddle. He's acting like he wants out of Memphis. He also isn't quite the player he was before. He looks like the injuries and whatever, and maybe a little bit of age. He was just such a spectacular athlete around the rim. He could basically do whatever he wanted. He was almost impossible to defend. And now he's a guy who doesn't really attack the rim quite as much or quite as efficiently. He's never been a great outside shooter. And you just wonder if his style of play was ever going to be sustainable. So I think Memphis wants to move him. And the question is, what do NBA general managers think of him? Do they think of him as somebody coming in and winning a championship? Or do they think of somebody that might be a little bit on the decline?
Timberwolves aren't interested, right?
Well, I mean, Tim Conley's always interested in adding really good players. I think what I just described is the challenge here. Okay, do you want to break up a team that's cohesive, playing well, has no bad guys in the locker room, really a lot of good guys in this locker room that like playing together. Do you want to give away a lot of assets to bring in somebody who might not be as good as his reputation suggests, might be problematic, might not fit with what you want to do? I mean, if he were peak John Morant, yeah, the Wolves would be interested. But then the Grizzlies would not be interested in trading him. There's a reason they're willing to trade him.
Well, and wouldn't the Wolves have to give up a pretty big contract? So a very important player on this team?
They'd have to trade away one of their prime players, maybe two of their prime players, and probably all of the remaining draft picks in the future. I just don't see it happening.
Jim, some other things going on. The Wild are going to play tonight. They go up against San Jose, and the Wild have had a nice run here. And Jesper Wallstedt specifically has been very good. Do you see him getting more opportunities, or is it clear Gustafson's the starter, Wallstedt's the backup?
I think, Walt, you should play the hot hand. This team is not in any position to just, you know, think about contracts. And Gustafson is making good money, but it's not like he's a superstar. It's not like there's going to be some big controversy or a lot of fallout if you played at Wallstedt more. Nobody's going to complain. So I would play Wallstedt right now. He's hot. Gustafson is not having a great year. I would just play the hot goalie. See where it goes.
The New York Giants are done with Brian Daboll. Thoughts on that firing?
He earned it. The way he, you know, I mean, I thought he could have justified firing him when he tried to go into the blue tent to find out if Jackson Dart, who has had four concussions this year, could come out and play. And that was embarrassing. As I know a lot of people who know Daboll, they really like him as a human being. He obviously has had success as an offensive coordinator. He had success in his first year as a Giants. He's not an idiot or anything like that. I just didn't like the way he handled his situation there. And Jackson Dart is a really talented guy. He's also a talented guy who needs to have his brain protected. And the Giants have blown like four fourth quarter leads this year. So I think that was the right move.
Vikings are getting set to play against the Bears on Sunday. Bears are 6-3. They've got a chance to be a playoff team. What do you think about this rematch?
It's a must win for the Vikings, I think. They win this one, then they go play a Green Bay team that is not playing well right now and has some key injuries. There is a window here to salvage this season. Frankly, if you can't beat the Bears at home, then you probably don't deserve to be in the playoffs. Bears are 6-3. They've won a lot of close games. They've won with dramatic plays in the fourth quarter. They beat the Bengals when the Bengals didn't tackle their tight end. Then they kind of hung around. They were down by 10 late to the Giants, and they put together two late touchdown drives. Jackson Dart also had some key turnovers in that game, which is basically what got Daboll fired at this juncture. So the Bears are playing better. They're winning close games. And I know people are going crazy about Caleb Williams because he's made some big plays down the stretch. That's fine. What I see as the biggest difference for the Bears is they're running the ball. You know, that's what Ben Johnson did with the Lions. He insisted on running the ball, and that opened up their passing game. And that's what he's doing now. His two backs have been very productive. They stick with the running game throughout the game. That's simplified the game for Caleb Williams, and their defense is pretty good. So not a great team. They've won a lot of close games. I think if you're the Vikings, you need to win this game, and you should win this game.
Sounds like Kevin O'Connell is pretty pleased that Jonathan Greenard has come out of it with a non-severe injury. Is he going to be ready to go on Sunday against the Bears?
I would think so. It looked bad when he went down. It was very worrisome, but they're saying the tests immediately look pretty good. He's got all week to recover. He really doesn't need to practice, frankly, so I would guess he's going to be out there.
How big a difference does it make for the Vikings when you have Van Ginkel, Greenard, Cashman all healthy and playing?
Well, Greenard had a great year last year. He has not had a great year this year. And I'm wondering if he got a little worn down when he was the only real pass rusher out there with Cashman and Van Ginkel injured for much of the season. He's faced a lot of double teams. He hasn't gotten much help from Dallas Turner on the other side. And he just hasn't looked quite as explosive. He's still a good player, but he hasn't made the explosive plays as often. So I think he's been a little banged up. but the defense in general. I mean, Van Ginkel is just tremendous, tremendous athlete with incredible instincts and smarts, intuitive play. And Cashman has been fantastic, you know. So now, listen, the defense didn't have a great game against the Ravens on Sunday, but I also think they got worn down because the Vikings couldn't keep the ball on offense, that they had to play too many snaps and face Derrick Henry too many snaps. But Van Ginkel and Cashman are fantastic, and they kind of need to get Grenard back to where he was last year.
Last night, Monday Night Football, the Eagles beat the Packers 10-7. Low-scoring affair. Was that the weather, or what do you think about these two teams?
Two very good defenses, two very good defensive coordinators, and two really sporadic offenses. Now, we saw the Eagles light up the Vikings, right? They're capable of doing that, but they were not good offensively last night. I thought Micah Parsons was an absolute force. It was like every time Jalen Hurts dropped back to pass, he got flushed out and he had to do something on the run. The Packers did a really good job of not letting him run for a lot of yardage as well. So I thought it was very good defenses and two offenses that are capable of looking bad any given week. And it really, the difference in the game is offensively is Hurts flipped the ball to Saquon Barkley, who had like a 40-yard gain, and then he threw like a 50-50 ball to Devonta Smith, and Smith made a great play on it. Otherwise, Philadelphia really didn't do much offensively, even with all that talent. The Packers looked like a bad offensive team. They've had four games where they've lost because their offense couldn't score like more than 10 to 13 points. That shouldn't happen with the Packers. Love is supposed to be a top-notch quarterback. Josh Jacobs is an excellent back. But you see them without Tucker Kraft, they don't have anybody who's going to go get yards after the catch. Matthew Golden hasn't been the player they thought he'd be, and he was hurt last night. Christian Watson hasn't done much. Dobbs is a possession receiver. And, they just don't look very good. I mean, unless Josh Jacobs breaks a big run, they just aren't a very good offensive team right now.
All right, Jim, what do you got in your podcast?
Oh, is the John Krasinski show up today? We'll very shortly have out the Viking Update show. Those are available on YouTube and at your favorite podcast app or at talknorth.com. And we'll start up the new cycle with all of our other shows here soon. You can also find Russo and LaPanta on Worst Seats in the House, Kevin Gorg's show, which is really cool, Randy Shaver's high school football show. This week, Mark Rosen's Sports Monday features Dan the Common Man Cole, Randy Shaver's high school football show, and everything's at talknorth.com.
All right, very good. Thank you, Jim. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks, Jim.
It's Jim Suhan, Star Tribune sports columnist, joining us each weekday morning at this time. Follow him on Twitter at SuhanStrib. Check out his latest column in the Star Tribune or his podcast at TalkNorth.com. Dream Getaway 89. First code word of the day is mouth, MOUTH, mouth. Type that in. You could win a vacation of a lifetime. First code word is mouth, MOUTH. We'll also have code words at 10:20 and 12:28 today. First code word is mouth. News next.